Hello and welcome. This is Charlotte Jacobs, and our topic today is insider secrets to get other people to promote for you, and this is part two. So if you haven't already listened to part one, I encourage you to go ahead and do that right away. This is a very, very important topic. I really want you to get the complete picture of joint ventures today so that, you know, along with the other call, you really will be able to go out and do this right away. And I have so much content to share with you today. I may just have to talk really, really fast. I'm going to try to breathe so you can take it in, but really get ready to take copious notes, because today I'm going to talk about the most important question you must ask yourself before approaching potential JV partners, how to connect with JV partners who won't ask you to do a call swap, and this is especially helpful if you don't have a list. Also, who you should contact and how to talk with them so they're eager to promote you and your stuff, what you need to know if you want a pro to promote for you, how to grow your relationships with JV partners through easy follow-up systems, how to create win-wins with a totally different niche, what the T factor is and why it's so important, and how you can get started even if you have no list and no relationships. Plus, I'm going to just breeze over the template for a powerful heart-swelling conversation with a potential JV partner that has them be more likely to promote for you. So, lots and lots to cover today. Let's talk about the most important question you must ask yourself before approaching potential JV partners. And this is where you need to be thinking about, what is that one action you want a new subscriber to take? What's the most important action a new subscriber can take? And here's how I really ask myself this question. And I'm going to use some real businessy language, so bear with me and I'll really explain what I mean. What is the strategic objective for doing this joint venture? And what you really want to look at is, the strategic objective is, where are you reaching three levels of impact here? The first one is personal. Where does it make the most difference for you? Where are you most fulfilled? The second is for your clients. Where do they get the biggest transformation? Where does the biggest shift happen for them? And then the third is financial. What is the most lucrative for you? So when you look at those, you're going to probably find that the answer is to either get them to opt into your list and to buy a product, to get them to sign up for a free consultation or a paid consultation if you're doing those, or to have them come to a live event or workshop. And I'll just give you a quick example of Rejuvenate Your Practice, because our strategic objective for everything we do in our business, this could be a whole call, really, but I just want to breeze over it so you have some context for this. Everything we do is about getting people to the Rejuvenate Your Practice. Everything. So if everything we do is about the Rejuvenate Your Practice, even when I do a teleseminar and I'm offering a product for a partner, I'm really wanting to get them to come to the Rejuvenate Your Practice, because three levels of impact. On a personal level, Jesse and I love workshops. We just have so much fun. It's a blast. It's just so fulfilling for us. And it's really like the turning point. And then the second part is for the clients. It's a turning point for so many people in their lives that life is never the same after the Rejuvenate Your Practice. They get some new tools to get clients, and, you know, they can get new clients with what they get right out of that workshop. And for those people who actually say yes to upper-level programs, that's a turning point for you in your life to say yes to yourself, to invest in yourself in that way. And so that is, it's like that's where it all starts. That's where it all happens. So that's, for, you know, that level of for our clients. And then on a financial, it's where, for our company, it's where most of our revenue is earned. So when you're thinking about this, if you're doing, say you're doing free consultations, and, you know, I think that free consultations would be a really, really important strategy if you're just getting started. Because on a personal level, it's where you really get to make a difference with people and get them present to what they want in their life, what they want to be different. And that should be very fulfilling for you, to help people get crystal clear about what they want and be able to have that conversation to support them to say yes to themselves and invest in themselves through you. And it should be fulfilling for you to be able to support people to say yes to themselves. The second is for your clients. That's a turning point in their life. When they come to that consultation with you and they say yes to a package of continuing to work with you, that they will look back at that decision as a turning point in their life. And I just actually recently hired a personal trainer, and just not working out the way I know I need to be. and my body's not changing the way I want it to be. And, of course, I can't do anything to hurt my baby, so I got to find a way to do it in balance. And, you know, that I can look back on that and think, wow, that was a turning point in my life to say yes to working with this trainer. So it's a big deal for your clients to do these consultations with you and to say yes to themselves. The third level is financially. Now, obviously, the more consultations you have and the more people who say yes, and I know that those of you we've polled, and gosh, 3 years ago it was like even 44% of the consultations were turning into paying clients. So obviously getting as many of those consultations as you possibly can is a really, really important strategy to do. The most important question that you want to ask yourself before reaching out to any potential partners, because you want to have that in mind when you know what to ask for. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is how to connect with JV partners who won't ask you to do a call swap. And this is especially helpful if you don't have a list, because there are some people who have been doing these things called JVs for a while now. They kind of know what they're doing. If they're really pros, they probably have a lot of people that are always pulling on them to promote for them. That doesn't mean you can't be one of them. On the last call, we talked about making friends, and really the deeper your friendship and the more connected you are and the more generous and the more things that you do for them, the more likely they're going to say yes to promoting for you. So you being generous first, you want to go back and listen to that part one if you haven't. You being generous first is going to have people be more likely to promote for you, promoting for them. But obviously, if you don't have a list, that's going to be a little bit of a trouble. Here's a thought. I want you to ask yourself two questions. First, where are your potential clients already going? Who has your potential clients as a customer already? And then the second question is, how can you add value? How can you add value? So I'm going to give you a couple of ideas to help you really think outside of the box here. Because this is not just people that are coaching coaches or in this industry. This is for everyone. You could, and I actually know this is pretty extraordinary. At some point, Rose Cole, who you've probably heard her story, one of our multiple six-figure graduates actually, went from $45,000 to $250,000 the year she worked with us. And I think last year she did $750,000 in sales. And you could do what she did, and that is, or find somebody like her. At some point, Rose got too busy to do one-on-one, or her one-on-one was really just only affordable for a very limited number of high net worth people or people, high-income people. And Rose went out and found some folks. Actually, she did this two ways. First, when she was building her practice, she asked if her free consultation could be a bonus for somebody else's information product or program. So you basically could become the strategist for somebody else's information product or program where they don't do one-on-one anymore, or their one-on-one work is in the high ticket. Like they might charge $500 an hour and up to work with them, and maybe you charge $150. That can bring you a lot. That is a JV. They're not going to ask you to cross-promote for them. They're not going to ask you to do a call swap. And you will get a lot of free consultations that way. Another thought is, and this is an interesting thing that we did. There's a very really cool bookstore that we recently had them including invitations to our Rejuvenate Your Practice with every purchase. And we were actually paying them for the referrals if people signed up. But I just want you to get, like, think out of the box a little bit. Let's say you are a nutrition consultant and you could find an acupuncturist who's got a pretty high volume practice, and you could give consultations as part of a package that people buy of their sessions. So if you do the package where you're buying 12 sessions, then you get this consultation with this nutrition consultant. So these are just some thoughts, and I really want you to think about this. If you know, again, about developing relationships is obviously the most important part, but you can find partners who won't ask you to do a call swap. You can also find these partners, you know, where you can just add some kind of a value. And so, again, asking yourselves those two questions that I asked you earlier. The first one is, where are your people already at? And the second question is, where can you add value? So ask yourself those two questions, and that's going to give you some real, real information about where to find your people. Let's go right into who you should contact and how to talk with them so they're eager to promote you and your stuff. So now that you kind of brainstorm and think about who already has your customers, I'm going to tell you some great ways to contact people that probably have people on their list that you might be able to add value. So I want to give you this formula that we learned from Justin Livingston, who, if you've ever heard of Justin and Callan, Justin and Callan used to teach at our Expand Your Empire. They actually moved their company up to Vancouver, so they don't come and speak any longer. But these are some out-of-the-box strategic alliances, and you want to Google the following terms. The first is your niche or topic plus. So, you know, your niche or topic plus. So let's say you are, your niche is gluten-free nutrition. So you would do gluten-free nutrition plus, and then here is the list. Get ready to take some notes. Blog, interviews, articles, blog talk radio, podcast, associations, Yahoo groups, Google groups, Facebook, Meetup, LinkedIn. You might also want to look up Facebook groups and Google Plus, since Justin taught this information, those are kind of been more popular. So your niche or topic plus, blog, interviews, articles, blog talk radio, podcast, associations, Yahoo groups, Google groups, Facebook, Facebook groups, Google Plus, Meetup, LinkedIn. And when you know, this is a way to find people that have your niche already on their list. And those are people where you can say, hey, you know, you get to know them. Maybe you can find a way to be generous with them. If you have a list, maybe you might, you know, see how they can add value. But definitely really looking at where can you add value and really offering a way to give them something. You know, maybe you're just adding a bonus. I think I talked about this last time when I talked about really where to meet people, where to meet potential partners and friends. Go back and listen to that part one. But again, live events is the most important thing there. So, you know, live events is the most important place to meet people. And, you know, getting in-person meetings are really, really going to make a difference. You can also do search engine optimization research on your niche or topic. And I'm going to give you a little tip right now, is that once you figure out what people, like what are the highest ranking terms, and you can kind of figure that out. If you start typing in Google, you know, Jesse and I were kind of making a joke last night, just looking at, we're trying to remember, how long is Zach going to be putting stuff in his mouth? So we started to type this question, how long do babies, you know, and it was like all these other questions came up. So Google starts to fill in the blank for you, and you'll start to see what kinds of things people are searching for. I'll show you the specifics on that now. I recommend that you name your programs, your packages, your teleseminars, your products, and your workshops with the highest ranking terms you discover. So that's just a little side tip there. So this is a little bit about who you should contact, and when I get into how to talk with them so they're eager to promote you and your stuff. And as you know, say you're going to a live event and you're meeting somebody, and I'm going to give you just six things that you should be thinking about when you're meeting potential partners and friends. And that is to, one, be confident. Step into your future self and, you know, really exude confidence about who you are and what you have to offer. Know that what you have to offer would really benefit their people. And you sometimes, I mean, and it's funny because I've faked it, and it's kind of, I've even had an experience where I went up to somebody and I was actually talking about getting Jesse on his stage, and it was, you know, it was kind of an uncomfortable experience, but it was fine because it gave me a little bit of, what do I want to say, a little bit of strength and resilience and being able to do it the next time. So just don't be afraid to talk with people and be confident. And then some of the things you want to be thinking about is, what are the kinds of things you're looking for? Think about this ahead of time. You want to position yourself clearly. And then the most important thing is to make it about making a new friend. Always get an introduction by somebody who is respected if you can. And then I want you to think long-term versus short-term in developing a relationship with this person. Think long-term versus short-term in developing a relationship with this person. Because in the long term, truth is, you know, talking about making a friend, and in the long term, I'm having a conversation with somebody tomorrow that is, you know, we both have two young boys. I think I've promoted for her once, and I don't know if she's ever promoted for me, but we've known each other for 3 years, and I've been cultivating that relationship. And And it's just the timing hasn't been right, but at some point we'll do something together. There are other people that I contact, we connect instantly, and they, you know, we want to do something together right away. It just makes sense. So you just got to be willing to kind of hang in there, make a long-term friendship, and, you know, don't just go for the JV. It's a little awkward. Now, there are some people that they're actually looking for people to promote. And, I mean, it's true that there are actually a lot of people have these continuity programs where they bring on an expert every month, and they're looking for experts to interview. And you might find out a little bit about what they're doing and kind of what their business model is, and what, and that could really find a way where you might be able to be a good support for them. And then the last thing, this is just a fun joke, is to share chocolate. You know, if you're with, you know, you're making new friends, and you can give them some chocolate. It's a great conversation opener, too. If you're, you know, standing with somebody and you're eating your chocolate, and you, would you like some? You know, just so you're not, you're actually being generous in that way. It's a fun way to get to know somebody. So these are a few things about how to talk with people so they're eager to promote you and your stuff. The next thing I want to talk about is what you need to know if you want a pro to promote for you. Now, I know that there are people that come to our programs that already have lists of people. They just never monetize their list appropriately. So, I, you know, I have a friend who's got a list of about 50,000 people, and she just is really not making a lot of money from it. And that would be the kind of person that, you know, if you could actually show her how you could offer something, and especially those of you who've done Leverage Your Genius, how you could offer something to her list and pay her good commissions, you know, she might be interested. And I have to tell you that there are people who really are, you know, I guess let me back up a moment. The reason why I'm saying that is there are some folks that just have large lists and that are looking for opportunities to be, you know, a good affiliate opportunity. So, so just know that that is possible. And again, it's first about making friends and then second about finding the good match and all those things I talked about in part one. Now, there are folks that have been doing this for a while. They might even consider themselves marketers first in, before whatever it is that they teach. And if you're going to ask one of those folks to promote for you, you have to know something very, very important. And it starts with an S, and the word is stats. You have to know your stats. And you have to know two stats. The first one is your opt-in rate. So you need to know the number of people who come to your site, or if you're doing a teleseminar, that particular page, and the number who give their name and email address and opt in. And you want to know that percentage. You know, for example, I've done enough teleseminars now where I know that there's a particular style of an opt-in page, and those of you who graduated from Leverage, you know this, that gets about a 67% opt-in rate. That means 67% of the people who come to the website opt in. So you want to know that number. I know that if somebody mails for the Rejuvenate Your Practice two-day intensive right now with that little video, that web page is getting about a 33% opt-in page, and we're obviously going to do some things to increase that. But that you want to know what percent. And if you're not sure how to figure that out, I just want to give you some real quick information on that. You can go to Google Analytics, and you can get a, I think it's $25 to sign up for the account, and then the rest of it's free. And you can put some code on your web page that will show you how many people are actually coming to your website. And I would do this now. Like, have your VA, your assistant, do this now, because the more information you get, the better. I mean, I could do probably 3 calls on tracking and testing. But for now, you just want to get this information. This is very valuable to have so you can share with your potential JV partners, the ones that are pros. And it's a good thing to share with people that aren't pros if you know these numbers. So the second number that you need to know is your sales conversions. And there are 3 types of conversions you want to take a look at. So the percentage of people on your list who opt in, that's not a sales conversion, but it's an opt-in conversion. I just mentioned that. The second is the percentage of people, let's say you're doing a teleseminar, the percentage of people who will show up on a call. And, you know, I've been finding, and this may be disappointing, but it is what I've been finding, is that lately with teleseminars, I found it be, you know, be about 25% of the people who sign up actually show up for the call live. Now, remember, you're, you know, if you're in Leverage, we teach you all the templates, but you're going to record it so people can listen later, so that's still fine. But just know about what percentage of people show up on the call, and that's an important number for your, for a pro. And the third is the percentage of people who sign up for your offer. And on teleseminars, 6 to 10% is very, very respectable. So if you get 100 people to show up for the call live, having 6 to 10 people buy your program, product, whatever it is very, very respectable. If you're doing a call, and this is a really fun thing that you can do, if you're doing a call that's all about you getting free consultations because you feel like you would be more effective in the heart selling conversation rather than in the offer, then you will probably get a higher percentage than that. But it's good to know what you've got. Now, obviously, if you're just starting out, you're not going to be approaching pros. That's, you need a little wind under your wings, beneath your wings, before you're going to be approaching a pro. So, but you want to start thinking about these numbers now so that when you are ready, you have this information. So start tracking this stuff now. And it doesn't have to be hard. It might feel a little overwhelming because it's technical, but it really doesn't have to be that hard. Once you get the code on your website and your webmaster can do that for you or your virtual assistant, then you can just go every day and look at how many people opted in, you know, how many people came to the site, and then in your shopping cart you can figure out how many people opted in, and that will give you your opt-in rate. And we actually track that every day in our company, and eventually that's something you're going to want to do. But for now, even you're doing, you know, you're doing a teleseminar, just put the code on the opt-in page and on the thank you page of the teleseminar, and you'll get those numbers for yourself, and Google Analytics will actually tell you that. So next I want to talk about how to grow your relationships with joint venture partners through easy follow-up systems. And this is a really important thing because, you know, when you make, when you make a new friend, you need to stay in touch with them. And there are some ways that it's just really, really important to really stay in touch and be connected. And I first want to talk about guidelines for building strong partnerships. And these are really in no particular order. You really want to be going more in the realm of 30 to 50%, or actually 40 to 50% of the sale. It's a lot more motivating than 30% for an information product or a group program. If you're doing one-on-one, like they're going to be offering your free consultation and then you're going to offer a package, I think 10% is reasonable. If it's with our programs, there are live events, and there's a lot that goes into it, and 10% is pretty standard in the industry. So for, you know, live events, that's what Harvecker did, so that's where we got that. And our partners are happy about it. So you just got to kind of figure out what kind of response you're going to get here. And I've had partners, Christian has told me, you know, I'd rather get paid for the registration and on the back end and all this other stuff, and I'd rather have you charge for the workshop. And I said, I'm not going to change my business model. So you'll talk to people and you'll get feedback and then you can adjust as you go. But talk to several people. You know, you don't just need to talk to one partner and decide, oh my God, they weren't happy with the 40% I was offering. I have to give away 50%. Well, you know, a lot of people are pretty happy with 40%. Then the next is to be generous with your affiliates, because when you're generous with them, they're going to want to come back and keep promoting for you or helping you. So know that, and how can you be generous with them? How can you add value? It might not always be a call swap. You might actually have, and here's another piece around this about how to connect with JV partners who won't ask you to do a call swap. You might find that you have something valuable in the realm of your information. That say, let's say you meet somebody that's a really smart marketer, and they're in your niche. And you might have some other value. Maybe you, maybe you teach a specific something in your niche that they don't teach and you can actually help them with. Well, I would be generous and, you know, give them some of your time. Maybe give away your products. This is a kind of a funny little secret when you get up into, you know, being pretty successful and being a good marketer. Actually, Sage was over here, Sage Lee, who's our brand manager, and he was looking at my library, our library here at our house, and he was like, oh, I have a lot of these products. And I said, the funny thing is I haven't paid for most of those products. And when you get to a certain point, people start, you know, giving away. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but celebrities are given stuff that they could easily afford. So it's kind of a funny thing that when you get to a certain point, people that are really smart will just give you products, gift you things, and you can do that too. You can gift them something. I'll give you a great example of somebody who's super generous and has been really great with me is Max Simon. And Max has given me some invaluable feedback on videos and, you know, some marketing stuff that we've done, and I really, really respect him and appreciate him. And on the flip side, this is kind of a funny thing. I mean, not funny, but just on the flip side, that the reason that we became friends, and we've known each other for a couple of years, but I just really keep Max in my heart. And I occasionally text him and let him know I'm thinking about him. And so you may be able to, you know, connect with somebody and provide that support for them and really become a good friend in that way. And that's a really great way to maintain friendships with people who are potential partners for you, is to really become friends, like authentic friends. These are, you know, people you want to hang out with. And then let's talk about staying in touch. You want to stay in regular communication with your partners, not just when you are promoting something. And this is a really important thing to keep in mind. You know, again, this is like, how are they doing? What are they up to? Can you invite them to something? I'll give you an example. I think most of you know that we just did this Adopt a Village campaign at the end of last year, where we raised $25,000 for to Adopt a Village in Africa through my friend Cynthia Kersey. And last year, and actually every year, she has this big gala for her birthday. It's a fundraiser, and it's a cool event. It's like some of the top authors in our industry are there. You know, Bob Proctor was there, and Mark Victor Hansen was there, and Reverend Michael was there, and like these are people that, you know, I would like to get to know. And then everybody that, you know, that coaches, a mentor to coaches was there, and so it was a really great event that I knew about, and so I started inviting all of my partners as a way to add value to them. You know, I'm always thinking, how can I add value? This is a really great question to write down. How can I add value for my partners? And this is not always promoting for them, but how can I add value for my partners? So, you know, you want to stay in touch. Find reasons to stay in touch. Is there an event that you can invite them to? Is there something cool going on that you discovered? Can you introduce them to someone? And I'll tell you another really cool thing that, Christian Michelson is, you know, a good friend of mine. We're often top affiliate partners for each other. And he's somebody that honestly, like when it comes to learning about partnerships, he's somebody I really respect and I really have learned a lot from. He's very, very good at staying in touch with and honestly at marketing to his affiliates and to his partners. And one of the things that he does is he sends a check every month. And every month I get a letter that says what he's up to, what he's looking for. It's a hard copy letter with my physical affiliate check each month. And he even lists who are the top five earners this month. And, you know, for people that are doing what we're doing, that are at this level, we've, you know, got a competitive nature just by nature of who we are. So it's one of the ways he stays in touch is he mails to his affiliates every month. So here's a question you can ask when you're staying in touch. You can ask, what can I help you with? What's going on now? What can I help you with? This is like once you actually really know people. What can I help you with and what's going on now? And it's a way to really, you know, and it could be all kinds of things. It could be the realm of personal. Maybe you refer them to this awesome nutrition coach you worked with that's really made such a difference for you. Maybe you refer them to, if they're local, your acupuncturist. Whatever. It's like, how can you add value is always that question. You're asking them, how, you know, what can I help you with? What are you up to right now? What's the project you're most excited about? And, you know, maybe you can introduce them to somebody. I hope you're taking a lot of notes because I'm sharing a lot. All right, some other ideas. You can mail them thank you cards. You can mail them gifts just because. I'll give you a really, really cool place if you want to mail somebody a really classy gift. Go to TeaForte. It's TeaForte.com. And they have the most yummy, wonderful, elegant little teas. Another thing that you can do is Bill Barron sent a gratitude mix. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. It was a mix of some of his favorite songs on a blank CD. That was just a really cool thing to do for partners. A long time ago, we were a guest on a telesummit, and we got a thank you gift, and they were the brownies. And if you go to sendoutcards.com, and we use sendout cards, and it's a nice way, it's very easy. You can actually send in your handwriting, which we've done, and it'll people know now that it's a card that was generated electronically. But it's just a really nice thing to just send a little card that says thank you or happy birthday, and you can even program their birthdays in there. So pretty cool. These are just a few ideas of things that you can do to really stay in touch with your partners. And then I just want to say this, that if you are in the middle of a launch or, you know, they're going to be hosting you for a teleseminar, you really, really need to stay in touch with them and really communicate with them. And it's a funny thing, if I'm a guest on a telesummit, I promise to mail, and the mailing hasn't gone out by 2 o'clock, I'll get a phone call by that person. I expect it. So you kind of have to be a pest about this kind of things if somebody has decided to mail for you and they haven't done it yet. But you want to do it from a place of service. Do they need support? You know, sometimes people are just overwhelmed. They haven't gotten to do that editing that they needed to do. And it's actually going to go out tomorrow instead of today. But, you know, to call and stay in touch and just, and that's totally okay. So these are just some ideas for how to grow your relationships. And I want to share some easy follow-up systems that you can use. And how do you, you know, how do you grow your relationships through easy follow-up systems? Well, here's an idea. There are a couple, actually, how many ideas am I going to give you? I'm going to give you 6 ideas for how to, you know, how to use follow-up systems to work with your client, your potential partners, or the people who've already committed to partner with you. First is set aside a day to send individual emails. You can check in with them. A lot of it actually is texting, because when you become friends with people, you end up texting. How's the launch going? That kind of a thing means a lot. Is there anything I can do? Let them know you're thinking about them and sending them good vibes. And don't expect them to respond if they're in the middle of a launch. But you can just set aside a day to send emails to people that are partners. And that's just, you know, to check in with them. How are you doing? Is there anything going on? What can I help you with? You know, do you want an introduction? You know, that kind of thing. Whatever it is. Second, you can have people in an autoresponder series, letting them know what's going on and staying in touch. And I love this. Actually, Christian, again, somebody who's really brilliant at this thing, he set up a, he's one of the things he's become a real hub in the niche of coaches, is he's actually does these one or twice a yearly events, live events, where he brings all people who are coaching coaches to these live events. And then he created a Yahoo group. And just recently he sent out this really cool little survey that was very, very valuable. And it was, you know, another typing survey. So we all love to figure out what type we are, right? So he said, hey, I'm a, it was actually Robert Allen's 1 Minute Millionaire. It was like, are you a hare or a squirrel or an owl or whatever it is, right? And he said, I'm a hare. Take this test. It took 1 minute. Might be useful with your team. And so he was, you know, basically sending value, like, I'm going to go find out what type I am. I'm going to tell everybody. And then I thought, wow, I should actually have everybody on our team take this little quiz and find out more about what that means and how they work. And I thought that was really, really great way to add value and stay in touch. But that could have been part of an autoresponder series. And third, you can send birthday greetings. Again, I love send out cards. You can give them a text or a call personally. Well, I was on Facebook every day just to kind of see whose birthday is it, go wish them happy birthday. And if it's a good friend of mine's birthday, I'm going to text them in addition to writing on their wall, right? So that's something that you can do. And that, speaking of, and this isn't on my list, this is a little bonus tip, why don't you interact with them a lot on Facebook? Why don't you put them in a group that says potential JV partner? Comment on what they post on and, you know, stay in touch so your name is in front of them a lot and they see your face. So Facebook is great for that. I think the best thing to use Facebook for is to connect with JV partners and to get to know them and interact with them. Like, after you've interacted with them a while, and then you're going to get their attention, then maybe send them a message through Facebook. I did that a lot. I've made a lot of friends just through Facebook. And part of it is they might have known my name, but you can get them to know your name by interacting with them. And, again, of course, you know, get an email introduction if you can first. But if not, this is a great way to do it. So check Facebook for birthdays if you're friends, and then give them a text or call personally. And I do that. It's, I'll, you know, say, hey, I just noticed it, you know, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. And that's lots of fun. And then this is number 4 as far as the follow-up system. And I love this. Number 4 is to check in a few months before a launch. A lot of people, their promotional calendar fills up pretty quickly. So I get in touch with them and actually reach out for my top partners and reach out and want to know when their schedule is. But if you know you're going to be doing a launch or you know you're going to be promoting something, I mean, again, I'm just going to tell you that if you can do something evergreen, that's best. And I'll just give you a little side tool here. Check out evergreenbusinesssystems.com for evergreen webinars. Do these webinars, and if you can do them with them any time, if you can set it up so you can promote for whatever it is you're promoting at any time, let people know ahead of time and give them a few months and try and get on their calendar. Because I've just had partners and they call me 3 weeks and I love them and I want to promote for them, but I've already got somebody booked, and that person was booked 6 months ago. So know that some people really book out their, you know, months in advance. Don't just wait until a few weeks before a launch to contact your partners. Give them notice and time to be involved. That was number four. Number five, around follow-up systems are to send an email when you think of someone and let them know. So you're just, you know, staying in touch. This is really like, hey, hi, how you doing? What's going on? It's, again, that kind of thing of really connecting and staying connected. Sometimes I'll just text like, hey, I was thinking of you. Hope you're doing well. You don't expect, you know, a response back. And, you know, I'll give you an example that I've actually texted my friend Lisa Sasevich more than we've talked on the phone, because sometimes I'll just be thinking of her, or like maybe I love something she did, and I'll text her, and, you know, that's just a fun little thing. And then the sixth thing is a way to follow up, and this is to make sure you are on all of your partner's lists. If they have an email list, get on their list, and then you can watch what they're doing, and you can know what they're up to, and that way you can follow both them about, you know, maybe you actually have space in your promo calendar, and now they're launching, and you can actually go ahead and promote for them if you've got a list. So pretty, pretty cool stuff. Use Outlook or something like that to really, really follow up with people. And you can definitely do that, like make notes for yourself or, you know, create a little follow-up system for yourself. So I'm not getting into the technicals, but that's a lot of what you want to do. The next thing we want to talk about is how to create win-wins with a totally different niche. So here's a cool thing. You meet somebody, you're networking, you're at a live event, and you're in a live event in your industry because you want to do that, and you're networking, and you meet somebody who maybe is in a different niche. I mean, you know, especially if you're going to marketing workshops, you know, which if you're coming to events, you're going to be doing that. And you really should know there are three different mega niches. There's health, relationships, and money. And every sub-niche fits into one of those big three. And then there's also personal development. But most people are going to be in those three main niches, health, relationship, or money. And if you meet somebody and it's just really obvious that, you know, it may not be a good match, or, you know, they just don't have your niche on their list, then you still want to be generous. And think about who can you introduce them to? Because you have no idea who they know, and they might be willing to introduce you to. Who else do they know in the industry? Who else do you know in the industry? And who else can you introduce them? Can you think of vendors for them? Meaning, say there's somebody that, you know, they could add value. They could be a good JV. Really, how can you help them is really what you're thinking of. It's general. The general question is, how can I help? How can I help? How can I add value? You just want to pound that into your brain. But, you know, it's like, think about who else do you know? I recently created a deep partnership, meaning that somebody who's really committed and putting us in their business model, with a woman who is a pretty high-profile nutrition consultant. She actually has a sub-list of people who are practitioners. So you just don't know. Sometimes people have sub-lists. They might have your people on their list, even though it's not their niche. So really think about that. So that's a little bit about, you know, how do you create a win-win. You're still always thinking about how can you help with a totally different niche.